Judy and Bethany, and thank you all for giving us this privilege of being with you this week. I can't express to you what a joy it has been to all of us to be here. We've been through, as we've mentioned throughout the week, some very deep water of late, and your fellowship and your encouragement to us this week has just been super. We want to thank you. For those of you who have been hospitable to us, who have added to our weight problem, we want to thank you for your intent, and thank you even for the pounds that we have added on here at Park of the Pounds. This week we've been talking, and just now we've been singing, about spiritual warfare and fighting. Sometimes we get awfully blue in the battle. We've talked about that throughout the week. And I began longing of recent months, particularly over the last 6 months, for heaven. I don't know if you long for heaven. I'm not thinking of making my trip there premature. I'm trusting the Lord that in His time I'll be brought up to be with Him in heaven. But I'm learning more and more what it means when we're told that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. General Peter reminded the troops of that in that first chapter of 1 Peter. You're strangers, you're pilgrims, providentially scattered by God in the area of the battle that He wants to use you. But we were also encouraged to be reminded that there is an inheritance laid up for us in heaven. I began to look through my vast library of books to see what I had on heaven. You know, I didn't have very much. And what I did have was awfully dry. I mean, I had books that were giving me the measurements of the celestial city, and I guess that's important. I don't want to demean some of the scholarly work. I even looked in the Westminster Catechism. I don't know where I picked that up, but I had a copy of that, and I looked up what it said about heaven. And I yawned when I got through. Now, everything that was written was wonderful and it was true, but it didn't get my bells ringing. And so I began to search the Scriptures to see what makes heaven so glorious. And it's really quite simple. The one who is there in heaven makes heaven all glorious. And I want you to turn with me to John chapter 15. I'll bet you none of you thought we would turn to John 15 in a message on heaven. John chapter 15. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. That's our portion down here, isn't it? That's what we've been talking about all week. We live in a Christ-rejecting world, and we feel the strain of that. So when we turn the page back to John chapter 14 and we read these words, they become all the more precious to us as we suffer the trials of our lot down here. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you know what makes those verses precious to me? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you, now listen to it, not to your mansion, but to myself. That's what makes heaven precious to me. Because I live in a world where he's not appreciated. I live in a world where he's blasphemed and the scoffer ridicules his name. But he understood all of that before it took place. And right now, he's in heaven, preparing a place for us. Do you hear that? For us. For us. And he's going to come and receive us to be with himself. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to have you moving around in the Word of God tonight just a little bit. So those who bought their new King James translations this week can get them broken in. Revelation chapter 21. And verse 27. Listen to this. This place that he's going to bring us to. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a sobering thought tonight, particularly in light with what our brother Jim Gilbert has already mentioned. Now, he quoted some bad English. Use that word, ain't. Not everyone who talks about heaven is going to be there. There are some strange thoughts about heaven that people have. A young lady we met in the hospital when our son was there after that serious automobile accident sent us a book about heaven. And out of courtesy to her, I read the book. And this lady says she was caught up into heaven. And she came back to tell us about it. Well, this will be interesting. She says, when I got there, I saw my grandmother. She came hobbling up to me with her cane and said, I'm glad you've made it, my child. Doesn't that encourage you? Some of you don't have all that much to look forward to, do you, Granny? That's not what the Bible says about heaven. My dear friends, when we get to heaven, we're going to inhabit new bodies. Glorious bodies, fashioned just like his. Are you going to be there? Do you know you're going to be in heaven? I reiterate what our brother has already said. If you don't know for sure that you're going to be in heaven when you pass this scene, let me tell you that you can know that you're going to be there. The Lord Jesus Christ himself told us that the word that he has given to us has been given to us so that we might know that we have everlasting life. And I commend him to you. We've talked much throughout this week about the flesh, haven't we? And I don't know how many times in the course of my ministering, I brought you back to Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8. And we've talked about reckoning ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, we read these words. the Apostle Paul writing, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. That's a present reality. I wish I could escape this body of flesh. I wish the flesh was never a problem in my life, but it is. There's a constant battle that goes on between the Spirit of God who dwells within me and the flesh that I inherited from Adam. And I praise God for that indwelling Holy Spirit. I praise God that I don't have to live and walk in the flesh, that I can reckon the flesh to be dead and myself alive unto God. But listen, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. As we think about heaven, I love this verse. Philippians chapter 3. You know, this is good even in the old King James. Judy, it's even good in the NIV. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now get it? Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Why do I long for heaven? Because when I'm in heaven, I'm not only going to be away from all of that which defiles, not only am I going to be with Him who died for me on the cross of Calvary, but when He brings me there, He's going to transform this lowly body of flesh. He's going to bring it into absolute conformity to His own glorious body. Aren't you looking forward to that? Are you going to be there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Listen to this. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, if that doesn't ring your bell, I don't know what can. You see why I'm longing to be in heaven? He's going to transform this lowly body. He's going to raise up this old body of dust. He's going to transform me into a spiritual man, just like the Savior. While you're in Corinthians, turn back to chapter 13. Verse 12. Here's a third reason I'm looking forward to being in heaven. Now, we see in a mirror, dimly. I think your old King James says we see as in a glass, darkly. It means in a mirror, dimly. If you had a new King James, you would know that. But then, get this, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. We live sometimes in a world of perplexity, don't we? Things happen in our life, and we've been talking all week about some of the sorrows and some of the battles we're called to fight and the defeats that come at times, and we wonder why. Someday, we're going to be with Him, and we're going to know it all. He's going to reveal it all to us. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Can you take that in tonight? Are you going to be there? Are you going to be there? My dear friend, we need to know the answer to that question tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I read this, I believe it was one morning. The Apostle Paul talking about the here and now. He talks about verse 7, having treasure in earthen vessels. That's the body that we have now, the earthen vessel. But when the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us, it's treasure in earthen vessels. And the treasure is placed now in earthen vessels so that when the trials of life come and the vessel is broken, the light can shine forth of the glorious indwelling Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We're struck down. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Verse 12, death is working in us. That's our portion. Now, I know I didn't read all of what was written purposely. I wanted you to see the portion that is ours now. And we could equally say we're not in despair and we're not destroyed, we're not forsaken. But then, when we get to heaven, the psalmist has put it this way, and I want you to turn to the Psalms because we've got to break in this entire Bible. Psalm 17, verse 15. A precious, precious verse. As for me, the psalmist writes, I will see your face in righteousness. Now listen to this. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And I want you to zero in your minds with me on that one word, satisfied. Satisfied. The hymn writers have gone to town with this thought. Oh, that will be glory for me. The hymn writer says, satisfied with Thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. And we could go on and on. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. We can sing those words down here and express a measure of our emotions. But when we stand there face to face, and see Him in all of His glory, knowing as we're known, we'll know what satisfaction really is. Will you be there? Will you be there? Why don't you turn back to the book of Revelation? I don't know about you, but my heart at times is just overwhelmed with sorrow as I see the division among the Lord's people. H.A. Ironsides wrote one time, it's a shame that those who most rightly divide the word of truth most wrongly divide themselves. Does that grieve you? It saddens me to see godly white people and godly black people divided. It saddens me to see language separate people and cultures separate people. And I know some of these issues are complicated, they're deep, but I long for that scene that's described in Revelation chapter 5. Oh, what a glorious scene. Beginning with verse 8, the Lord Jesus takes the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. Each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense. And they sing a new song. Now listen to this song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Who? Those from every tribe. Do you get it? And tongue. And people. And nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God. No division in heaven. We're all going to speak the same language. We're all going to share the same culture. We're all, listen to me, going to sit around Him. And it won't matter what we were down here. Whether we were black or white. Whether we were open or exclusive. Whether we were old stewards or new stewards. Whether we were this or that. It won't make any difference up there, will it? I long for heaven. I don't have the answers for all the divisions down here. But I know that in heaven, we're all going to be united. And you know who's going to unite us? The Lord of glory. You see why I'm longing for heaven? Are you going to be in heaven? You can know. The Bible says this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says this, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. These things I have written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life. You don't have to be in doubt. But you do have to acknowledge your sin and your rebellion against the Holy God. You see, the Bible also says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But praise His name, God found a way to redeem lost humanity through that death of Christ. He paid the debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt for you. I don't know you. I don't know your heart, but God knows everything about you. One of the most thrilling experiences I've ever had in my life was preaching in an assembly a week of gospel meetings 3 years ago. And a young man sitting in the back row, who was the darling of the assembly, had been to Bible college, graduated, come back, was in charge of the young people. He stood up in the middle of the message and said, I'm lost. I'm a fake. I'm a fake. I'm lost. And he came running up the aisle and he got on his knees and said, I'll be saved tonight. And everybody in that congregation questioned their salvation. And God began a revival in that assembly. Here is a young man in his mid-20s who had fooled everybody. But he hadn't fooled God and he hadn't fooled himself. Perhaps there's someone like that in this audience tonight. Perhaps there's someone here who everybody thinks is saved. But you know you're not. As we leave tonight and you pass by me, just grab my hand and say, I don't think I'm saved, or I know I'm not saved. Would you speak with me? I'd be glad to take you into one of the rooms. And it would give me the biggest thrill of the week to point you to the Savior tonight. Or maybe you've come with a friend, and you know that friend knows Christ, and you feel more comfortable speaking to that friend. It doesn't matter who you speak to, but it does matter that you receive the Savior, that you leave tonight knowing you're on your way to heaven. I can't wait to get there. It may be sooner than we think. We have no guarantee that we'll ever get home tonight. Many of us are looking for and hastening the day when Christ shall come and catch us up to be with Himself. The Apostle Paul said to depart and be with Christ is far better. And if He were to come tonight, I know where I'm going. Do you? Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You tonight for heaven. And Lord, heaven is just a place. But it's a glorious place because of who is there. We thank You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who suffered the agony and the torment of the cross for the joy of having us join Him in heaven. And oh God, we ask that You would cause us to long to be there. But tonight our hearts are strangely moved for those who might be in our audience who aren't prepared for heaven, whose sins are still being borne by them because they've never turned them over to Christ. Oh God, deal with them by Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for this week. We ask now that the savor of it would go with us. That You would continue the work that You've begun in each of us till we all gather around Him in heaven. We ask this in His own worthy and precious name. Amen.